Thank you all for being here. This research is basically sort of trying to answer a why on something we've seen in post-harvest quarantine treatments for a number of years. I've developed post-harvest quarantine treatments against coddling moth and other pests using a combination of short-term high temperature with controlled atmospheres. And what I've noticed is that the addition of a controlled atmosphere increases mortality by about 50%. And you know, when you're with ARS, you don't always have the opportunity to ask the whys. You just keep on trying to push through the treatments. So I finally had a little bit of time to pursue the whys. So I wanted to determine the metabolic reason for the increase in treatment efficacy, and then also see if I could try to understand the mechanism. Because if I can understand the mechanism, then maybe I can make these treatments even more effective. So I've developed a model system to determine, rapidly determine insect tolerance to heat and controlled atmospheres. I actually reported on this last year at this meeting. And we use this system to determine the effects of the combination treatment on ATP levels. We also did RNA and protein, but I'm not reporting on those today. Okay, so metabolic heat rates. Well, I wanted to determine the effects of the combination treatments on overall metabolism of coddling moth. And to use this, I did both static and thermal scans using a differential scanning calorimeter. These are now readily available, very easy to use. These are one milliliter ampules, very easy to put the insects into, seal them. You can put any type of expose any type of atmosphere in there you want. It's the airtight seal. So these are the treatments that I used, and I'm sorry that it's such a huge table, but I wanted to isolate the effects. Treatment A is just no heat under regular air. B is heat with air. C is a 1% oxygen environment with a heat treatment with it. D is not regulating oxygen, but having a 15% carbon dioxide environment. And then E is the 1% oxygen, 15% carbon dioxide with heat. And this is actually the quarantine treatment that I use on one of the treatments I've developed. And then I also wanted to look at just the effects of the controlled atmospheres without adding heat. So 1% oxygen, 15% carbon dioxide, and then the combination. So the methods for ATP, use fifth N-star coddling moth from a colony we've had in production since 1972. I use 50 larvae per treatment type, place single larvae into the tubes, because when you heat coddling moth, they tend to try to eat each other to survive. I used a constant ramp. This is a ramp that I use for the heat treatments of apples and pears and peaches and nectarines. And it lasts about 1 hour from 23 to 44.5 degrees Celsius. So that's about 1 degree C per 2.5 minute rate. I took the insects out and immediately froze them in liquid nitrogen. I decapitated the individuals and they were placed into pre-weighed test tubes. The heads were used for RNA and protein, which again, I'm not talking about. And then we used the rest of the bodies for the ATP studies. So for the differential scanning calorimetry studies, I used 12 individuals, fifth N-stars we were used in the studies. I used an Atmos bag, which is very common if you've ever done any type of microbiology and you had to use anaerobic conditions. I used this in order to add the different atmospheres that I was using in this, and I'm capable of mixing whatever type of controlled atmosphere I want with my system. So these results were completely unexpected. I thought for sure what I would see is a decrease in ATP levels with both low oxygen and high carbon dioxide environments, and this sort of blew my socks off. So again, I'll repeat, this is just the control. This is no heat under air, no real difference between using the heat treatment under air. They're not statistically significant. Low oxygen, we saw our expected decrease by 32% of ATP levels. And this is with heat again. However, with the addition of the high carbon dioxide environment, we see 135% increase over controls, and this is statistically significant. The combination treatment was intermediate between the low oxygen and the high carbon dioxide, so this is a combination treatment, and this is about 66% of what the controls were, but not statistically significant from the controls. The low oxygen environment under no heat, it was about the same. Again, though, the high carbon dioxide with no heat, huge ATP levels, over 250-fold percent increase in ATP levels. And then the combination treatment, again, a higher ATP level than I would have expected initially. So this has me scratching my head, and of course I'm gonna pursue other avenues with this. So looking at metabolic heat rates, these are the static temperature metabolic heat rates, and these are done at 2.5 degrees C increments and with standard error bars. So these are the averages of 12 individuals. And you see we have a fairly steady increase from about 12.5 to 25 to 30 degrees Celsius. This is a linear rate. And then we have a break here with a decreased rate in metabolic heat rate. Around here, we get up to the critical thermal limit of codling moth, and then we start seeing a decrease in metabolic heat rate, and it really starts to drop at the critical thermal point of 42.5 degrees Celsius, which I had previously reported on for codling moth. Years ago, I'm going to tell you how many years ago, but a long time ago, I looked at codling moth pupil respiration and found very similar linear results within the 10 to 30 degree range with a break in metabolic heat rate. I didn't go above 40 because we incurred a lot of death, but very similar results. Now, when I compare the scans to the isothermals, this is where it shows how the controlled atmospheres are really being effective. So this is a scan using the increase in heat rate and heat under insects under air. And you see that you see a rapid increase in metabolic heat rate. And then this is much higher than the static because this is a compensation for the heat load during a heating rate. And it goes up to a critical temperature here. When we look at a low oxygen, we see a huge decrease in metabolic heat rate in the individuals. And these are averages of 12 different scans with standard error bars. When we look at the addition of a high carbon dioxide environment, we see an intermediate between the static and the low oxygen treatments. So, with a lot of noise in there. So there's definitely something going on with the high levels of carbon dioxide to the treatment. And then this is the combination treatment, and basically these individuals, the black line, I know it's hard to see because it goes with the blue line, but they're basically pretty much toast at this point, and they're all dead when I pull them out here. Interesting enough, years ago, again, going back, I looked at a respiration rate of codling moth. Now, the scales are a little bit different, but remember the heating rate, at about 1 hour, we reached the top temperature of about 44.5 degrees Celsius. You see a drop off here, and this is about, if we had continued this on, we'd see a drop off here. So this is maximum metabolic compensation for the heat load, and then they start to die. So I thought it was interesting to see how the two data sets compared to one another. So the results, ATP levels changed in response to the low atmosphere conditions. The low atmosphere treatments resulted in lower ATP levels. The high CO2 levels resulted in much higher ATP levels, which is totally unexpected. The combination treatment, we had intermediate ATP levels. The metabolic heat rate increased in a linear fashion from 10 to 30 degrees Celsius, and after which it starts to drop off, and that correlates to the respiration work that I did years ago. The thermal scan showed metabolic heat compensation for the increased heat load when we're doing the scans. The thermal scans under CA environments indicate a suppression of metabolism. So addition of controlled atmospheres to heat treatment affects overall metabolism. and also observed differences in the pool of ATP and metabolic heat rates. So future research, I want to measure ADP, AMP, NAD, NADPH, give overall energy balance picture, and then also look at levels of pyruvate, malate, triolose, and lipid reserves in relationship to the treatment. And then also, as I mentioned before, I've developed primers for HSP70s and HSP90s. We're looking at that right now. We actually have some that are in the process of being sequenced. And look at northerns, look at differential effects or differential expression of these punitive heat shocks and get those sequenced. And that's it. Thank you.
Where does the increased ATP come from?
I'm not sure. I think what it is that there's a block in the system somewhere where you're actually getting a buildup of it and it's not being utilized. So you're actually having synthesis of ATP, but ATP is not being utilized downstream. So
this
something's being blocked.
The whole ATP molecule, not just the conversion of ADP to ATP, right?
I'm not sure where it is. And so that's why I want to go through and start looking at the metabolites and start trying to dissect this. We have an insect tissue culture system now, a coddling moth embryonic cell line, that I actually am going to be using to look at these. And what's nice about the differential scanning calorimeter, we can also do some of those studies in there to look at that and add different inhibitors and things like that as we do these tests.
In the majority of cells in nature, the vast majority of the AMP, ATP, ADP is always heavily into ATP, like 90%+. So it almost has to be de novo synthesis as opposed to simply converting ADP to ATP.
Right, and that's what I was thinking was going on, yeah.